Jesus has come and we will be thankful. And he's opened the door. More than that, he is the door. And whoever goes in and out will find good pasture and salvation. Thank you, choir. See, all that hard work paid off. Thank you. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and open to Psalm 100. It's short, five verses, but it's loaded. So we want to take pieces and look at it and maybe set the stage for our Thanksgiving celebration that occurs in our hearts. Psalm 100. It's pretty close to the middle of your Bible, isn't it? Right there it is. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. I'm glad we have a holiday season like Thanksgiving. We need to come back to the Lord and say thanks. Now, the world is going to celebrate Thanksgiving, but they're really not going to say thanks to God who has given it all to us. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians step out and say, okay, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because we're the only ones that are really going to do it. You know, let's think about the other side of it for a moment. Prosperity and success and increasing wealth can really be a dangerous thing. And when the devil starts out to destroy a nation, he'll make them rich. He'll make them prosperous. He'll make people successful. He will give them increasing wealth, and they turn away from God. It has happened many, many times in history, and as I look at America, I think it's happening to us as a nation as well. You know, the same thing is true, that prosperity and success and increasing wealth can destroy families and communities. Thinking about communities first, you know, there's a lot of places in America that used to be staunch biblicists, and they followed the Lord and they loved the Lord. And we could name areas of the country, but today they're not. And a lot of it's because of the prosperity that they have. It's also that way in families. So many times we as families, when we gain and increase, we start moving away from what God, the fact that he's the one that has given it to us. And then it happens in individual lives too, that because we have become wealth, we don't need God anymore. God in Deuteronomy chapter 8 warned Israel about that, because he's basically saying, I'm going to start making you really rich because that's what I promised your forefathers. But when I do that, don't move away from me. Don't forget me. So Deuteronomy 8 says this, make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I have commanded you today. And Moses is speaking here. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, you build pleasant houses and settle in. See your herds and your flocks flourish, and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure you don't become full of yourself and your things, that you forget God, your God, that God that delivered you from Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through that huge and fearsome wilderness, those desolate, arid badlands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions, The God who gave you water gushing from the rock. The God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestor had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of life and to test you so that you'd be prepared to live in the days ahead. He says, verse 17, if you start thinking to yourself, I did this, I did all of this, all by myself, I'm rich, it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as it is today. Don't forget God, the one who has blessed us. So we ought to come to him at least once a year, and even more than that, to say thank you, because we've been blessed, haven't we? And we've been blessed abundantly. It's amazing what God has given to us. So it's good that we stop at the season of the year here at Thanksgiving, and we count our blessings, and we thank the Lord who has blessed us so much abundantly. The New Testament reminds us to do this. James says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So everything you have, I mean, walk through the house, look at the food on the table, the beds we sleep in. That's God's gift to us. And then 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, what are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if you have, if what you have is from God, why act as though you are so great, as though you've accomplished something on your own? He didn't mince words, did he? Not at all. So Thanksgiving should focus on the Christian's heart, on God and his blessings. That's what it should be. Some years ago, Don was an Oregon police officer, and he was on his way to California for a Harley-Davidson convention when a construction zone caused his group of motorcycles to stop suddenly. And so Don had to lay down that big motorcycle at a high speed and was left with a broken shoulder, some broken ribs, and a collapsed lung. He was in a lot of pain. A passerby in another vehicle stopped to help him. She came up to him. She told him her name was Sally, and she said she was a registered nurse. She cradled him in his pain and assured him that help was on the way. When the paramedics arrived, Don was airlifted to a hospital where he spent 10 days as they were putting him back together. Then, after his healing, now he's really intent on finding out who Sally was, and he wants to thank her. And he doesn't know who she is. All he had is a first name, and there's no way of really finding out who was at the scene. He said, when I woke up on the pavement, she was holding my head. She very calmly talked to me and calmed me. Afterwards, she just walked off. It's important for me to find her and to thank her. I guess in that situation, you'd know that somebody really helped in a time of need. You want to do that. Don's wife says her husband's need to find Sally has become almost an obsession. But you know, Thanksgiving is a good obsession. It's the right thing to do, isn't it? Well, here in Psalm 100, it provides us with a lot of information on how we should give thanks and where to give thanks and so on. So that's what we want to focus on here this morning. First of all, let's look at the what of Thanksgiving. And this is in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's the recipe of what we should be doing. First of all, go to God. Enter right into those courts, right there in front of his throne, and bring along your praise and your thanksgiving. Once there, get to it. Don't just walk in, but when you're in front of him, and if it helps, visualize that throne and the glory that sits upon it, and give thanks to him and praise his name. Now let's make a little bit of distinction, because the word thanksgiving and the word praise don't mean the same thing. When we're doing thanksgiving, we're not doing praise. When we're doing praise, we're not doing thanksgiving. They're distinct words. Praise, as the first one we look at, praise is the act of complimenting God for who he is and what he is and what he's done. It's recognizing and acknowledging his qualities, his work, his character, and his love. Just three psalms over, Psalm 103 is a great praise psalm. Here it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." It's recognizing God as being holy, and his name and person is distinct. Verse 2 there, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits," things that he has done and how that comes out of his character. Verse 3 says, and it begins the list. That's what's going on here, a list. Verse 3, "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." So God is a forgiving God. Aren't you glad he is? I mean, we sin and we don't look up, and there he is standing there writing down what we did. "I'm going to get you for this." That's not God. I'm praising him. That's, not who he is. You know, he may not heal all our diseases today. He might. And I'm sure he loves to do it. Sure, there were many times when he healed folks when he walked on earth that he smiled. Just at seeing their joy at being well. And God does. He heals many, many times. Someday, you know, all our diseases will be gone. Won't you miss having colds? Won't you just hate it when you can't get the flu anymore? When you don't have those migraines? When you don't get those bad reports from the doctor? Won't it just be awful? He's going to take away all that for us. Thank God for that. Verse 8 in Psalm 103, "The Lord is compassionate." God, you're compassionate. He really is. "And gracious. God, you are slow to anger. You are abounding in love." Thank you for who you are. Thank you for that. I praise you for that. Verse 10, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." That's who God is. And we praise him for that. So praise comes from insight into who God really is. And as you begin to learn to know him, there are times you just go, "Wow, look at who you are." One that really comes to my mind is, I think the Lord's an amazing artist. It's hard not to get up before sunrise these days, right? And I've come in the church. I think there was a morning this week, and I can't remember which day it was, early in the week. When I looked outside the first time, I thought my neighbor's house was on fire because the sun was in the sky over there. It was brilliantly red. And it was shining off the side of the neighbor's house. And I'm going, "Whoa, that's beautiful." And then as I kind of drove out of on Fountain Blue and out, I realized, "Whoa, there's red all over the place." And there were clouds that were long, and it was like red across part of them, and then purple and blue, and it was just, and I'm going, "Jesus, you are an amazing artist. You're amazing." When I got to the church, I'm going to call Anita. Well, she wasn't quite up yet, probably. But I got out of the car here, and I was going to get the camera out and just do one of the panoramic views. It was all gone. So in the time I drove from the house to here, which was about 3 miles, Jesus had moved on to a different easel and different artwork. But it's awesome what he does. and how he does it. And so we look at that and we start understanding our sin and how he's forgiven us. And it's hard not to praise him and say, Jesus, I praise you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you have a forgiving heart. It's amazing stuff. And singing songs and hymns is a great way to praise God. There's a lot of them in the hymn book. And that's what some of them we sing. So our songs and hymns should be about God, not about ourselves. God, this is who you are. I praise you. On the other hand, thanksgiving, that term is much different than praise. Thanksgiving looks at what God has done for us, and it says thanks. Here, would you like this bowl of chocolate-covered peanuts? Why, yes, thank you. It's what he has done for us. That's thanksgiving. That would be specific blessings and gifts that God has given to you. I recognize this is from your hand, Lord. Thanksgiving is usually expressed in words. Thanksgiving is rooted in an understanding of how really blessed I am. And so thank you, God, for this and for this and for this and this. So thanksgiving comes from counting my blessings. We didn't sing that song this morning. It didn't make the final cut. But count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And when you do that, you come up with a long list of things to say thanks for. And that's what we want to work on this week. God, I see and recognize this as a blessing. My wife, my relationships, my kids, my whatever it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. So I praise you for who you are, and I give you thanks for what you have done for me. Notice we have the where here too. We go to his gates, his courts, his city, his throne room. And when we step into the realm of prayer, we're going before him, into his presence. We're, in a sense, almost stepping into the place where the angels praise God. And stepping into the place where those who have died and gone on ahead of us are praising God. It's where all the people from around the world will bring praise to him. And we join the chorus. And it's really something to think about, that as daylight turns to dawn in the morning, or as night turns to dawn, people in that part of the world start to say, good morning, Jesus. I love you. Thank you. I praise you. And then as the dawn moves across the planet, we're all just joining that chorus all day long. And then we get to the evening and we're saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for the blessings of the day. And then we lay down and we sleep. And that chorus has gone the whole way around the world as God's people say thank you to him. Psalm 57 says, I'll praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching the whole way to heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. So, slow down. Stop. That's hard to do. I still have to learn that. Slow down and stop. Go into his presence. Go into his presence. Go in the morning and return in the evening. Morning and evening, Psalm 92 says, morning and evening to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Psalmist says, that's when I go. We should bless him for the food we eat. 1 Timothy 4:4, it's all been made so that we could enjoy and be blessed by it. Thank you, Lord. And then we ought to praise him all day long, no matter what happens. Oh, I got some hard verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. No, wait a minute. Give thanks in, just some. I had to have misread that, right? Give thanks in some circumstances. No, it says everything. The great God who loves you and will take care of you has said, thank me for this. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, that's what I want you to learn to do. In tough times, easy times, all the time, for every circumstance, say thanks. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Let's just praise him. Let's just keep it rolling as we go through our day. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Psalm 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So as we go through our days, we should let praise and thanksgiving just roll off. It should define us. The angels look down and they say, there he is, thanking God again. He's one of God's kids. And so that's a sign of who we are. Why should we do this? Look at verse 3 and verse 5 here in Psalm 100. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Why should I praise and thank God? First of all, because I recognize and know that he's the Lord God. He's God in heaven. And so I come and I recognize him. Actually, that word know, learn to know him by experience, that he is all these things, that he is God. Acknowledge him, that he is God. Tell him when you enter his presence, I believe you're God. And I believe you're the top God, and there is no other. And that's usurper, the devil. He's never going to take your place because you are more powerful than him. So recognize the Lord Jesus. Know that he is God. And tell him that you submit to his lordship and his commands. Today I want to be yours and I want to follow you and I want to do what you say. So lead me and guide me. Recognize and know the Lord is God. And then recognize too that he is the one who made us. Did you ever make something? Yeah. God made you. God made me. And like David said in Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He goes, when I look in the mirror and then I see myself and I see all the things my hands and feet and body can do, says, I'm amazed. I'm fearfully and wonderfully well. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I'm amazed, he says. So God is the one who made you. You know why he made you? Because he wanted somebody like you running around on earth and then living in his presence for all eternity. And so don't miss that opportunity. You're alive because he wants you to be alive. You're alive because he wanted the experience of taking care of you through your life. You're alive because he has great plans for you in the future. Notice, too, that I'm in some sort of a covenantal relation. I belong to him in a covenantal relationship like sheep and a shepherd. And that would make an interesting study all on its own. Sheep were totally dependent upon the shepherd for everything, food, water, protection, health, care, and so are we. But we're, you know, the sheep knew that that shepherd was there for them and would help them in every way possible. And we have a shepherd that does exactly the same thing. We're dependent on the Lord. But Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God's going to take care of me. God's got, he's going to meet my needs. And then notice, too, that the Lord is good. That's another reason to praise him. This speaks of how he relates to me. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the scripture says, coming down from the Father. Or whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit more next week, as I've been working on Psalm 23, and there's some incredible Thanksgiving stuff in that too. And I love that phrase at the end. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Did you ever turn around and look and wow, there's God's mercy and his goodness. I want to talk a little bit about what that means next week. And then his love or his faithfulness endures forever. And that's what the psalm tells us here. This is a great word. It's a Hebrew word that talks about his faithful, ongoing, sacrificial love for us. It's a word that means, have you considered God's love? He keeps at it. He loves us. His faithfulness, his compassion, it's kind of all rolled into one. It's a big word in the Hebrew language. So just a few reasons there why I should praise the Lord. He's God. He made us. We're his people. We're in a covenant relationship with him. He's been good to us. His love has been expressed to us forever. And his faithfulness on and on and on forever. Well, let's think a little bit about how do we praise him? How do we praise him? See verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Boy, wouldn't that be a spectacular picture? Everywhere on the planet, people are shouting for the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Shout for joy, make a joyful noise, or shout, as King James says, NIV, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Have you ever shouted for joy to the Lord? Do you like it when people shout? Kind of depends on what the circumstances are, right? If you're at a ball game and you're watching the mighty Cardinals play, and there's a guy five seats down, and he's standing up yelling, way to go, way to go, 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 win, win, take that base, or something. You know, we kind of go, okay, that's acceptable. But if you're in a store, and a mother is shouting, or a child is shouting back at mom, we kind of go, oh, I didn't like that very much. I didn't like that. Or if we're walking down the street and we see a couple in the apartment above the street, and they got the window open and they're yelling at each other, they're shouting at each other, we don't like that very much either. Well, shouting. I think the best way to look at what the scripture's saying here, shout for joy, is not so much based on loudness, but passion. You know, usually when you're yelling, you're filled with passion. You're wrong and I'm going to prove it. Or go team, go. Our hearts are filled with passion. And so it's emotion and it's coming out. And I think that's what the Bible's saying. Jump in there with your whole heart, with your whole body, and passionately praise the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make sure it's heartfelt. It's moving us. It's like a storm of gratitude in our heart that just comes out and spills out everywhere. Not wild and out of control. We're not promoting that at all. 1 Corinthians 14 says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. So this isn't just wild, uncontrollable stuff, but it's like a controlled party of saying thank you. It's an outward expression of what's going on in our hearts, and there's a lot of passion in it. Psalm 98 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord. That's what we ought to do. Passionately come before him, say, thank you for this, thank you for that. So, shouting for joy. Second one here is worship with gladness. And this is pretty good too. We ought to give him worth-ship. Now that we took those two things. He's worthy and I'm giving him worth-ship. I'm recognizing that. And I ought to do it with gladness. Gladness is delight, happiness, joy, pleasure, cheerfulness. Our worship time should not be sad and gloomy times. Put a smile on your face and come in and worship him. You know, the thing is that the session you have with the Lord, the praise session, it might start off sad. But once you get into it, you know, that sadness is replaced by something far better. It won't stay that way for long. You know, there are parts of the country, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, where there's a lot of overcast. And so you don't have sun. And some people, when they move or live into that area, they're not used to it. They just can't handle the fact that we don't have any sun up there. And so it results in mood swings and depression. And we had trouble with that in West Virginia because the house was sitting such that this end had no windows, this end had no windows, but the sun came up over here and sat over here, and the trees blocked the rays from coming in pretty much everywhere. And so we ended up buying you remember the old torch lights? The big round ones, and boy, it was a halogen, and it put off a lot of light. We just turned those on in the morning and let them go all day long. It helped a lot. But there's a scientific name for this problem. It's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, S-A-D, which makes sense. And that's what people with SAD disorder do. They put certain types of lights in their home, and it changes things. You know, we need light. We can't survive without it. It's important that we have it. And we can't survive without God's Son either. So our shadow hearts, tinted by selfish and confusion, and we need the light. So we need to come into his presence. And we ought to come in and soak up his sun and his light. And it changes us so that we're going from sad to glad. And it really does work that way. Then it says, come before him with joyful songs. Joyful songs. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we should be joyful. We should bring in songs of joy. Do you know songs of joy? You can just walk into his presence and sing them or say them. I like Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And I can get happy over that one. Or Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And many others. Just, they're tremendous. So, worship before God is about him. It's not about us. So come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Well, when we enjoy God, it overflows into praise. One writer asked this, have you ever wondered why God desires our praise? Is our God some sort of a petty tyrant that just wants us to come and talk about how good and kind he is? Why would we have to do something like that? Who benefits from our worship? When we come into God's presence and we worship and we praise him and we say thank you, who does that benefit? Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't benefit God. He already has everything he needs, and he's complete within himself. So who does it benefit? It benefits me. I am the one who needs to come into his presence with thanksgiving in my heart. I need to shout his praises. It benefits me. It blesses me. Because if I withhold my songs and thanksgiving and praise, it does nothing to diminish him, but it sure does diminish me. C.S. Lewis was struggling with this, and he wrote this in the book, Reflections on the Psalms. He says, "The most obvious fact about praise, whether God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or of giving honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise." So if you're enjoying something, it's going to come out in praise. And then he gives some examples. He says, "The world rings with praise. Lovers praise their beloved. Readers praise their favorite poet. People walking in the country praise the countryside. Isn't it a beautiful morning? Look at the birds over there. Don't you love their songs?" And he says, I had not noticed that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Didn't you think that was magnificent? So praise is something that just grabs our heart, and we want others to join as well. He says, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy. We delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not only expresses but completes the enjoyment. When I start praising God, it completes my sense of joy in him." That's what we're supposed to be doing. The catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that's what we're going to be doing forever and ever and ever. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. So go into his presence. Find out what it does in your own heart and in your own life. It's refreshing to look at it that way. Sincere praise begins with enjoyment, with delight. And so when our worship starts to become mechanical, it starts to feel like an obligation, we need to examine whether we have taken full advantage of his invitation to truly know him. For to know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. And then to love him is to praise him. It flows naturally out of us. So thank you, Lord God, for your blessings on my life. I praise you for who you are, and I thank you for what you have done for me. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. That's our marching orders for this week. Because we're on the earth, we're going to do that. Worship the Lord with gladness. We're going to do that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, aren't we? Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his, and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. And aren't you glad that's true? We have something to praise God for. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we pray that this psalm will fire up the praise engines of our heart. We praise you because of who you are. And you're God. You made us. You made us very well. We are wonderful projects, and it's great what you did. Father, we thank you for the many things we have from your hand. And we would be amiss not to recognize those. And Father, help us to say thanks. The world does not give thanks. The sin nature does not want to give thanks. But help us as your kids, help us to give thanks. Those of us who know you and who walk with you, may you turn our hearts toward gratitude in a profound way in these days. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to do just that. Bless these days of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.